Children ask brilliant questions, don't they? Why did God make people? That's the question I got on Friday evening. And the answer is in this passage, in both of these passages. It said, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. The whole of your life. Simple answer. Why did God make people? So that we would worship Him. And worship is what we're doing now. But worship is also what we're doing every other hour of the week. What is the most important part of church life? If we took a poll this morning, some would say, it's evangelism. It's telling others about Jesus. And that's true. It's very, very important. Evangelism happens because worship is not happening. Evangelism happens because worship is not happening. The reason why we want people to know Jesus is that they would give Him the worship that He is due. So when we think of, some people might say, well, it's worldwide missions, telling people in far-flung places of the world about Jesus. Missions happen because worship is not happening in these places, or not the worship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the only true God. Maybe discipleship is the most important part of church life. Discipleship is about doing what God wants us to do. It's about following Him. It's about being fully devoted to Him. Discipleship happens to enable us to worship God better. What about pastoral care? That's very important, isn't it? How do you help people to worship God when they're going through a really tough time? When they may be going through a time of bitter disappointment? That was the experience of the people who were in exile in the Old Testament. They talked about their bitterness and their deep suffering. Therefore, this I will call to mind, and I will have hope, for your compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you know that that wonderful passage, or that wonderful song that we sing, great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning for thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. All thou hast been, thou forever will be. Do you know that that comes from the deepest, darkest time in the Bible for the believer? Great is thy faithfulness. A song of trust, a song of praise, a song of worship coming out of. So when we have pastoral care, it's asking, how can we help this person to remember God and connect with God even when they don't know what God is doing? Why did God make people? To worship Him. And in Romans 12, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. And that's the starting point. Worship, the starting point is always God. What's the most important thing about us? It's what we think about God. What we think about God will determine how we worship. The Israelites, when they were going through that bitter experience of exile in Babylon, what did they think about God? They had to remember the truths that were taught to them. They had to remember the promises. What we think about God determines how we worship. What we think about God determines if we will worship. And therefore, how we think really matters. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here is, mercy is what you need to remember. Because for 11 chapters, he's been explaining the gospel. He's been explaining the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only son to a world in rebellion, to a people who had ignored him, who had gone their own way rather than God's way. And God's response to our rebellion, our selfishness, our ingratitude is to send his son Jesus to die on the cross to take the punishment in our place that we may be reconciled to him, that we may worship him. What is the end point of all of this? The end point of all of this is what happens when we die. And if we are believers, we go straight into the presence of God at the moment of death, and we find ourselves in a worship service. In a worship service. That's what's going to happen. At the moment of your death, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to come into a worship service. Every tribe, every nation, thousands upon thousands of angels, glory to Jesus, the one who was and who is to come. Glory to Jesus, the one who was slain for us. Glory to Jesus, the only one who can make sense of all the problems in the world today, the only one who is able to unlock the meaning of life, the only one who is worthy to open the scrolls which explain what life's all about. Glory to Jesus. And if we don't enjoy worship now, we might find it difficult to worship then. Now, we all know that we all get bored in worship from time to time. That's okay, because we're human. And the idea of an endless worship service for eternity, I don't think any of us are wanting that. But if worship is more than a service, then the afterlife is more than a worship service. Do you think you'll have a job in the new creation? Do you think you'll be gardening? Looking after God's garden up there? Or down, it's actually down here, by the way. That was a slight slip of the tongue. The new heavens and the new earth. Worship in the whole of life. Work. There will be work for us to do for God. And what will that be like? We'll be reflecting him in every day. Well, how does Amazing Grace go? What's the last verse? I can't remember it. When 10,000... Okay, so worship. And what motivates us to worship? Motivation's very important. What motivates us to praise God? What motivates us to examine our lives and to confess our sins and to get into a right relationship with him? What motivates us to listen to God's word, to spend time asking God what he has to say to us? What motivates us to, after having read God's word or heard God's word, putting it into practice or saying, nice talk, see you next Sunday? What motivates us? And the answer's here in Romans 12. It's God's mercy. See, one of the reasons why we find it hard to follow Jesus, one of the reasons why we find it hard to obey, one of the reasons why we find it hard to do the things that God's asked us to do is because we know that in the past we've messed up. We know that we've failed. We know that we've had good intentions. And we know only too well the hypocrisy of our own hearts. But remember, friends, it's by God's mercy. That's the starting point. It's by God's mercy. And God's mercy is bigger than any mistake you have made and I have made. Jesus, the friend of sinners, went to the cross not because we are perfect, because we are not perfect. And so if we will not go for God this week because we have some holding back because we failed in the past, then we have not understood this God who calls us to worship. The God who calls us to worship is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love. And he points us to the life in obeying his commands, and sometimes he allows us to drive into the ditch. But he wants us to come out of the ditch and back onto the path, the narrow path which leads to life. It says in verse 2, that thinking really matters. In verse 1, where it says, this is your true and proper worship, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? Just briefly to say that. It means that we are to die to self. We are to die to self. What does it mean to die to self? As we open our hearts to his love, we surrender our wills to his purpose. Surrender. Submission. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. That is dying to self and living to God. And the way we can be prepared to live like that is to have our hearts and our minds transformed. And that happens when we gather together on a Sunday in worship. If we come ready for God to speak to us. If we come ready to minister to one another, it's not only a vertical relationship with God in worship, it's a relationship with one another. In these verses in Colossians 3, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The first thing that God wants from us is for us to be at peace with one another, to forgive one another as we've received forgiveness from him. and then for the Word of God to dwell richly within us. What a great prayer for Andrew and Alison to pray for their children. As I prayed for Ryan this morning, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit would fill him. I prayed through the verse, do you remember? And then just at the end, he kind of went like that. That's okay. I've seen that many times. But to memorize a verse and then to ask God for it to become a reality, that happens when the Word of God dwells richly. That we don't only remember it, but we pray it. We pray it into our lives. We pray it into the lives of others. But there's a resistance that also happens. That there's the pattern of this world. And as we are in a battle, what do you fight for? What do you fight for? You know how people sometimes say, pick your battles. Pick your battles. You can't fight about everything. What really matters to you is what you will fight for. And I want to encourage you to fight for time with God, for time in His Word, to allow your minds and hearts to be transformed. Everything, every possible distraction, every possible reason will prevent you from doing that every day. And will also present to your mind reasons why coming to church is not that important. Your life depends on it. Your life depends on it. Remember the coal that comes out from the fire and loses its heat. We need the encouragement of one another to spur one another on. We need to share God's word with each other, not just from preaching from this lectern here today. It's to teach and admonish one another. It's to talk about it. It's not just have a cup of coffee. Did you see the Newcastle game 3-3 yesterday? Pity that Joe Linton slipped when he could have scored the winner. Great conversation. I'm very interested in that, by the way. But I'm not as interested in knowing that as much as what did God say to you today? What questions do you come away with today? What things is God maybe going to work on with you in this coming week? And is there any support that we can give you? Now, I can't do that with 200 people, but you could do that for each other. Now, not everyone will want as direct a question as that. You might want to wait until you'll know. You'll know. We need encouragement. I remember being in a worship service, and somebody gave me the bread and the wine, and I burst into tears because the magnitude of Christ's death impacted me in that moment. And as I was leaving the church that day, an elder came after me and he said, "Let's talk." And we went into a room and I just said, I was just overcome by emotion about what Christ had done for me. And he says, "Tears are really good. Tears of pain and tears of joy in church is really good." And then he shared with me about his wife who had dementia and how he spent most days crying his eyes out. And we had wonderful fellowship. And that was about 20 years ago. And I remember it because it was a worship service where it wasn't just vertical, but it was horizontal. And we want to welcome you here today if you're here for the first time. And we will not crowd you. We will want you to just come and listen. And if you don't know Jesus, It's a good place to explore, and we'll give you space to do that. But if you say, I want to grow as a disciple of Jesus, I want help to follow Jesus, then you should expect that we will ask, how's it going? Can we pray for you? It should be transformative, and we should go into the next week knowing God's will. I'm going to finish now with just a quotation which has continued to inspire me. I'm going to get William to send out on the email next week, next Friday. Look out for it. Just listen to these words, and then I'll close in prayer. It's by William Temple. It's a meditation on Jesus' words to the woman of Samaria, to worship in spirit and in truth. These are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Spirit and truth. Worship is the submission of all our nature to God. It is the quickening of conscience by His holiness, the nourishment of mind with His truth, the purifying of the imagination by His beauty, the opening of the heart to His love, the surrender of will to His purpose, and all of this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable. And so we pray, Lord, that in this coming week, that the Word of God will dwell richly in us, that we will come expectantly to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with wonderful truths that we need to hear. And whatever we do, whether in word or deed, to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen.